Welcome back to the Roundtable's live broadcast from the press porch at Tanglewood. I'm Joe Donahue. This press porch is located in a grove of trees, steps away from a lovely flower garden, one of the most beautiful views, and you'll have to take our word for this because there's fog and you really can't see it right now. But
so it's by the way, you're also on the radio.
So. Yeah, you're on the radio, so you can't see it anyway. That's right. Yeah. A beautiful views in all of the Berkshires. It's right here at Tanglewood.
Well, I'm Alan Chartock. We're overlooking the very same Stockbridge Bowl, which we've always loved. It's heaven on earth. And we invite you to join us on a three-hour exploration of this jewel of the Berkshire Hills.
Tech gurus Adam Claremont and Jessica O'Rourke are on the scene engineering, and roundtable engineer Dave Hopper is back in the studio telling us what needs to be done.
So we start off with an abbreviated roundtable panel and welcome our man from the Berkshire Eagle, Kevin Harry Potter Moran. Good morning, Kevin. Great to have you back with us at Tanglewood. What are the Eagle reports?
Okay.
I do something wrong?
No, that's fine.
Oh, I did something wrong.
No, I did something wrong.
You put this here. It's not supposed to be here. Is that the idea?
Right.
Okay.
Okay, we're good now. So we welcome back our friend Mark Volpe, the managing director of the BSO, to the discussion. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm terrific.
Yeah?
It's great to have you both here.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was thinking we were looking for stories to talk about that Kevin could talk about, that you could talk about, that we could talk about, and then you guys end up
So you picked Syria, huh? No, sorry.
You guys end up on the front page, and I was listening to the Today Show. Top story that because of the weather and because of Hurricane Arthur now, level one hurricane.
You realize the irony in that the guy who started the July 4th was extravaganza and made it into something in 1976, the guy named Arthur too.
Yes.
So he has come back.
Yes, so he is. So then you guys get a call. At what time yesterday?
Well, this thing was playing out all afternoon. Ultimately, it's a public safety matter. So the state police, the other authorities, recognize the Esplanade is actually state land, even though it's in the city of Boston. So the state police have jurisdiction, and of course, the producer of the event is a gentleman named David Mugar, and his foundation has provided support. And this is a multi-million-dollar event every
year.
I mean, you invite 500,000 people to a party or 600,000 people to a party, you better have enough porta potties, and there are other considerations which I won't go further. So ultimately, this is a big deal, and there's a complement of several thousand law enforcement people and safety people and security people, and of course, they're probably in a bad year, there are 200-300 ambulance runs just with people with heat prostration. You don't think about these things. And then, of course, at Tanglewood, we always have an ambulance for every Shed concert as well. When you have a congregation of 10, 15,000 people, and in this case, 500,000 people, ultimately, the good news, it's an incredibly civil, happy crowd. Grandpa's been sitting out there, for 8 hours in 97 degree and 90% humidity. Guess what happens to Grandpa? He ends up in Mass General. So ultimately, we are part of the discussion, but we don't, unlike Tanglewood, where we ultimately are responsible and make the decisions in the terms of the Esplanade, it's the state's call and whether it goes forward or what transpires.
So they decide to go on Wednesday night as opposed Thursday night as opposed to Friday night.
That would be tonight, by the way, Joe.
Yeah, right. Meaning
we're scrambling, but
okay. But you're ready.
Were you tempted to call up our neighbor, Deval Patrick, and ask him to intervene for you?
The thought did cross my mind, but he's got better things to do than talk to me.
No.
So.
In fact, he was going to be part of the show on July 4th, and whether he's available, we have this incredible arrangement of the Star Spangled Banner that goes to the history of the flag and Baltimore and all that, and it has some phenomenal visual imagery, and then obviously someone has to read it. And back in Boston, when we did it in the season, we had the voice of God, the guy who does the State Farm commercials, it. And Duvall is a fantastic speaker. So he was scheduled for July 4th. I haven't heard whether he's available on July 3rd.
Can people see this anywhere else in the country? I mean, there used to be TV.
Well, it's a webcast now. It's on throughout the world. Actually, it goes beyond the country.
Yeah.
We had a group of musicians go off and do some quick pop-up concerts and at Times Square and Logan Airport and a bunch of other places. So it's got a lot of about 2,000 accounts in various newspapers and radio stations, and you're giving me another opportunity to pitch it. So it'll be up for 24 days thereafter. Hopefully we have something to capture.
And the URL, which is important to note, right, is bostonpopsjuly4th.org.
Thank you so much.
And you have it on your site, I saw, because it popped up on one.
We'll embed it if we can.
Yeah, that'd
absolutely.
Be fantastic. That's great.
Yeah. All right, thank you, Kevin.
The other thing, so we assume with the exception of the governor, all of the stars and everybody we're going to be there tomorrow night will be there tonight.
Right, and the one thing we explored was moving it to the 5th, but the state police couldn't, frankly, figure out how to staff it for 3 consecutive days, and then also the talent. You know, the Beach Boys, Megan has a gig in Detroit. The Beach Boys have, you know, Saturday Night. A lot of these artists are working, so we would have lost our entire talent. So the idea is we're going to get the show in.
You lost Joey McIntyre.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm devastated too. But ultimately,
who that is?
He's a new kid on the block.
Okay, okay.
New kid on the block.
You got
right?
it.
Yeah.
Okay. No, he's been great. He comes to Children's Hospital with us with the kids in December, and so he's been a good soldier. So you know, ultimately, if everything just gets blown up the next 2 days, I think they'll run the fire. They got the fireworks sitting in a barge in the middle of Charles. Eventually, the barge has to go somewhere, so they might as well blow up the fireworks. So
how much does that cost?
You'd have to ask David.
Well, no, you know.
It's a few $100,000. That's one of the great fireworks shows.
$200,000?
Yeah, maybe $200,000, $300,000.
You could buy a house with that.
That's a big party.
Depends on the neighborhood, but yes, you could buy a house with that.
So.
Not a big house.
Depends on the neighborhood.
So meanwhile, we have a big party going on here, and we will move to Kevin, and then we'll move back to you. But in the front page of the paper, get a nice interview with Q&A with our good friend Clarence Vanto. So that is the big event tonight and tomorrow night here.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, James's concerts at Tanglewood have become, in my mind, at least an official kickoff to the summer season in the Berkshires, and he plays tonight and he plays tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. It's my understanding that both concerts are sold out. My recommendation as a weather watcher would be you might want to bring an umbrella tonight, but tomorrow night's looking pretty darn good. And it ought to be a spectacular time. And of course, there are fireworks that follow tomorrow night's concert.
So let me see if I get this straight, Kevin. You mean to tell me that there'll be a hurricane on the Esplanade, but here it'll be good?
Well, you know, Hurricane Arthur is supposed to make landfall somewhere between the moon and New York City. So,
okay, that's a good line.
You know, we're way out here in Western Massachusetts, so we're going to get, you know, some weather tonight. And, hopefully... the Esplanade concert goes off, well tonight, they have made the right decision perhaps by moving it up a day.
Wow, that's incredible.
I just can't imagine expecting, you know, you were talking about planning a party, but I just can't imagine expecting all of this on one day and then moving it up by 24 hours. And that just seems like a giant pain in the ass.
Well, that's why they give him the big bucks. Because he does that.
We're not going to discuss that matter. Although, you know, you always ask me about Yo-Yo. Every time I'm with Yo-Yo, the first question he asks me is
how much
money does Alan Chartok make? So, I mean, it's a reciprocal kind of dynamic going there. Anyhow, the good news is we already had a rehearsal plan. We were already set to have a concert. Typically at these concerts, 75,000 people show up at the rehearsal. I mean, it was already organized. Obviously, they have to significantly enhance the security and close the roads. I mean, that part of what happens, you saw the front page of the Globe, is if you were planning on getting somewhere in the Back Bay today.
Good luck.
Good luck. You know, and we encourage everyone to take the tea and all that. And out here, we encourage people to get here early because we do have 36,000 people coming. You know, we're capped at 18,000, and Kevin mentioned it is sold out.
So that's so interesting. What you're telling us is that the dress rehearsal became the event.
That does happen, especially when TV's involved, because we are capturing this. Channel 4 is that CBS affiliate is obviously through New England, and then we have our webcast. So it's a communications challenge, you know, and we'll see how well we did.
So, but do you think when you wake up in the morning, like? When you wake up this morning, so how many people? How many people are you expecting tonight in Boston?
Boston, I think we're going to lose a few hundred. Probably you could have 300,000.
So, I mean, that single-handedly, you're responsible for, with your two venues, like 350,000 people being entertained.
Yeah, I mean, other times it's closer to 500 or 600,000. So it's you know, a little bit, you know. Actually, I think it's as big as what happens in the mall in Washington, and certainly New York would be a comparable. They have fireworks throughout
the city.
Yeah,
but then on the other side of the state, you don't have something like equally huge going. I mean...
Oh, equally challenging. Yeah. You know, with our great friend James Taylor. So the logistics of that are not without complication, especially if there's weather. And we have a whole series of protocols, and especially, you know, rain is fine. Lightning is a different matter. And so we have a lightning detection system, what a high-end golf course would have. And we have a relationship with people you have relationships with, Albany weather people who advise us, who are much more expert in reading this. And so our, you know, we take that series of responsibilities very seriously.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. Mark Volpe and Kevin Moran are joining us on the panel this morning. We are at Tanglewood. We are on the press porch, and we will continue our broadcast after this short break. Good morning, and welcome back to our roundtable broadcast. We have we're at Tanglewood, and we're conducting our panel this morning. We have our dear friends Kevin Moran and Mark Volpe with us. Alan Chartok to my immediate left, who has a question for Mark.
Mark, I had a cousin who married a big shot at one of the television networks, and I asked him one day, I said, so, and I named the woman who is around here actually, and I said, what is she really like? And he said, she's a pain in the rear end. I wanted to ask you, of all the talent you have ever known, who's the biggest pain in your rear end?
Does that include radio talent as well?
No.
Because there's a real obvious answer there.
Ooh, can I participate?
No.
Touche.
Listen, one of my favorite artists opens our BSO part, Renee Fleming, but I would, without divulging any specific names, I sort of have an understanding with my artistic staff that other than Renee and a few other singers, I don't typically interact that much with singers, so you can show me my instrumental bias. So
you're a clarinetist.
I'm a clarinetist, yeah. And I'm a son of a trumpet player and whatever, but ultimately the big pains tend to not play instruments, well, unless you count voice as an instrument, but
so the divas are the problems.
Yeah, with the exception of people like Renee, who is one of the most, and Susan Graham, and there are several others who are incredibly, you know, absolutely magnificent and magnanimous type personalities.
Is it safe to say that if they're a giant pain, that it would keep you from working with them again in the future?
I'll tell you one quick story, because
cool.
I'll never work with her again.
Yes!
We did the Super Bowl, and Mariah Carey was scheduled to sing the Star-Spangled Banner.
But she has such a good reputation.
And so we had done the Lincoln Portrait with all the living presidents, and all that was done, and we're Mariah Carey. And it was right after Derek Jeter dumped her. And to give you a little secret, you know, and now it's well known, everything was pre-recorded in Symphony Hall. You can't go to the Superdome down in New Orleans and have anything work artistically.
Right.
So you pre-record everything and you basically lip sync. You know, we put up dummy mics and all that. So she gets dumped by Derek Jeter, and she comes running at me and says, I'm going to show everybody, I'm going to sing this thing up a whole step. I'm going to change the key. And I looked at her. I said, you realize it's pre-recorded. It's in the can. You can do whatever you want. And she just went nuts. I went to her manager and tapped him on the shoulder and said, oh, you know, your situation. You defuse. And so I think he got her back up there. And
did she have a live mic, Mark?
I don't. That part I don't know.
Okay.
Because I think, you know. The good news is the orchestra plays first, so then whatever the key is. But exactly, we got this totally surreal conversation, which I can share that with you because she's a pop star, and
But Joe's question is relevant here. Is that enough to put her on the S list for all times?
No.
All right.
Yeah, I mean there are lines. You know.
Just as long as Mark is here, right?
Yeah.
Just in your
you don't see her in the schedule this season. I
no. Yeah. No, I didn't see her.
Yeah. Or Nick Cannon, for that matter. how's the economy doing here, Kevin? How should we feel about everything?
Well, I, you know, it's going to be a busy weekend. Yeah. Throughout the Berkshires.
Everybody feeling good about the summer season?
Yeah, I think they are. It's a, you know, this is a type of weekend between the reopening of the Clark Art Institute.
Big stuff.
I mean, they've revamped campus. They closed for a couple months to reorganize their galleries.
And they open tomorrow.
Obviously, there's the big Pittsfield 4th of July parade, which is tomorrow. You know, of course, you know, all this is...
Is that as big as it used to be or not?
Yes. Yeah. And I think the only concern tomorrow is that, you know, is the weather for the Pittsfield 4th of July parade. But it's looking like it might clear up just long enough for them to, you know, step off and you know, hit the finish line under relatively good weather. So, you know, that ought to be nice. You know, outside of that, I think, you know, overall, the Berkshires, you know, relies on its cultural activity during the summer. You know, the Berkshires, you know, have gone through some tough times, you know, this past spring.
North Adams
Regional Hospital closing. Obviously, a lot of work that Berkshire Medical Center
they've been great
put forth to you know, revive the emergency care facility up in North Adams. So that's a concern. You know, obviously, you know, this time of year, the summer season puts a lot of Berkshire folks to work, which is also a great thing.
So is this county really one big museum? Think about what
In my mind, it is. Yeah, you might have to drive 30 or 35 minutes.
Yeah,
but,
nothing.
That's you know, from my home in Pittsfield, it takes me 10 minutes to get here. From my home in Pittsfield,
pretty
it takes
drive
me,
too, by the way.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, it takes me 30 minutes to get to the Clark. It takes me, you know, 25 minutes to get to Mass MoCA. You know, it takes me, you know, 35, 40 minutes to get to the Norman Rockwell Museum. This is a, you know, biased because I grew up here. It's my place that I call home. But you don't find that level of cultural activity for a variety of interests anywhere in a rural setting like the Berkshires.
It's unique. I mean, when you start looking at all the disciplines, all the, you know, including dance with Jacob's Pillow, the critical mass here, this has become America's cultural resort.
Now, we're out of time, but I want to thank both of you for coming in, and wish you, Mark, a great season. I thank you so much for hosting us. As always, it's a delight to be here, back here. Thank you so much. Kevin, I hope you come over and join us at the party and the panel.
By the way, last time I was here, you gave me like a bobblehead doll as a going-away gift.
Yes,
I did take it to China, and they recognized it immediately because they made it for you.
We'll be back after this.